Not up to doing it all this year, so we'll do the Hakdama and Arz Alvanin and two or three in the middle, and some others will help me with two or three in the middle, so it'll be a little bit less than normal. The Rambam says, Tisha B'Av Chamisha Dvarim Iru Boi, and he brings the Chamisha Dvarim, the Nigzei Sol Bamidbar, everything like the Mishnah, with one Shinui. He says, "V'nilkada ir gdoila ubeita shma." Big city was captured. Was beita. V'hoyu ba'alofim vavas mi Yisrael, and there were thousands and tens of thousands of people. Kol Yisrael. I'm skipping a remark. V'nafal biad goyim v'nergu kulam v'sitzar gdoila k'machor b'migdash. They were all killed out. Beita was captured and was utterly destroyed, and tens of thousands of people were killed out. That l'chur is, that's the way the Mishnah says it. That's the mahalach of it. It was a very big city. It was large, and people were tremendous sorrow. It was the last city to hold out. The Rambam adds another remark in the middle. He says, "V'hoya boy alofin vos mi Yisrael, v'hoya la melech godl." They had a big king, Spakus Kaziba. V'dimu kol Yisrael v'gdoila chachomim shemelech haMashiach. And all Klal Yisrael and Gdoile HaChachamim imagined that he's Mashiach. And the Rambam continues, they were killed out, and so on and so forth. That remark, which doesn't say in the Mishnah, doesn't really say it, doesn't it's not associated anywhere in the Gemara with it, is Me'er Tmiya. What does that have to do with the rest of it? The Rambam does bring it in Hilchos Malachim when he speaks about Mashiach, and he proves from that it doesn't need a hecker, that any special hecker, that something shalikid arachateva, as long as the person has certain inyanim, and so on. So over there, the Rambam brings it, and he brings a raya from Bekiva that thought that held him to be Mashiach until he was killed. So over there, that whole piece is part of the proof that Rama brings. Over here, how does that come into the tzaris? That it seems that the tzara wasn't simply that it was a very big city and a lot of people were killed, because imishum ha, there were many cities that were killed, many people killed. Beitar, he says, was miyuchet, that there was a melech, that dimu by kol Yisrael v'gdoile chachamim deitz melech haMashiach. And that seems to be the tzara that it says gadol as the tzara of the churban. This is the one that he says over here. Of the other five, he says v'hoyset tzara gdoilek my churban mikdash. That's of all the five, he singles this out as being equivalent. So we're going to mizbein in a little bit on the v'dimu aisei, on the unique tzara and the tzara of the Dimo is a Kol Yisrael, and Reiv and Umechach Mi Yisrael, he says, the Gdoile Chachamim. And we're going to try to understand a little bit the special Knech, the special Churban that lies in Beitar and in this Nekuda. There's a pasuk in Mishlei. It says, Toicheles Memusheches Machlo Leiv, that if a person has hope, and a person hopes for a long time, and the hope is not realized, and the person just suffers with hope, that's a heart sickness, that destroys the person from inside. There's one of the klolos in the parish of Teichacha. It says, "Vifkarete aleichem beholos ashachefes v'sakadachas mechalois inayim u'medivos nefesh." So Rashi says, "What's the machla?" It says that these are inyanim that are mechalois inayim medivos nefesh. So Rashi says, "Ha'inayim tsoifos v'kolois liros sheyekel v'yirape." The eyes, a person anticipates that he's going to get healed, and then he doesn't get healed, And then there's a special tsar in a person of a disease where there was so much hope that he would get cured, and then he doesn't get cured. So there's an inyan, there's a tchuna of a person that's called teicheles, that a person has hope, that a person has tikva, and when it gets dashed, in terms of the person, in terms of his tsar and tsara, it's la'ein shir worse than it is if the person had no hope. If a person has no hope, so he doesn't expect better, doesn't expect different, and then it, so he anticipates the bad and he lives with it. When a person has a tikva, and when a person has a techelas, and it's mu'uchzav, Iyov at the very end says, "Hein techalti mu'uchzevis." If you destroy a person's hope, not destroy the hope, worse than that, the hope is misled. The person it comes to naught. He realizes that his hopes were false. Then it becomes unbearable. So there's a dimension of tsar. There's a dimension of tsara that takes the tsaras that are and makes them incredibly more devastating. Why? Where does it come from? What chelik of the einish? Where did we lose it? Where's the mida keneged mida for that? It says that Klal Yisrael, Chazal say in Eicha, that the reason why we have the Seder Advarim in Eicha out of place, the pay in the Ayin, is Shekidimu Pela Ayin. It's going on the Chet HaMeraglim. And the Chet HaMeraglim was that they would, that they didn't use their Ayin, they didn't see the Metzias the way it should be. And then built the picture. If they would have seen, and they would have said, "Okay, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is paving the way for us. He's making Leviathan so that nobody can see us, and so on and so forth. And therefore, it's a place to go to because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being manning us." For whatever reasons they had a fantasy of Mitzrayim that was an easy country. And they were waiting, and they projected the sheker. They projected the sheker of that Mitzrayim was a good place, that's also a bad place, and they fit the Metzias to the Dimyon. And when you take and fit the Metzias to the Dimyon, and you start with the Dimyon, then you have a techelas that's nechzeves. Because the Teicheles was not born of Emes, of Metzias. It was born of a wish. It was born. L'shu'oscha kivisi Hashem doesn't mean I wish you'll help me. It means being makir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koil yochel v'reitze b'tuv amoy, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take us and will take us and do good. We build the picture of anticipation on that. But if a person takes his own dimyan, so Klal Yisrael is beicha b'chiyah shel chinam, they took the dimyan and pasted it onto the metzias, and they corrupted the metzias in light of the dimyan. So the kilkul creates matzavim, where Klal Yisrael will doyer after doyer, will have dimyoine shav of hope. And when those dimyoines become dashed, once again, the tsar and the tsar is devastating. The Al Shech HaKadosh says on that parsha, on the Mechala Seinayim, U'kineged mashe b'chukoy saitimasu ki tim shukach einechem, ki ma'astem ma'ma she'en lo'itam lefi ro'is einir basa lachem, Kinegdoi Ovlochem Mechalos Einayim. Because your taiva wasn't happy with what you saw, and therefore you switch, and if at the first glance you're not happy with Ruchnius, so you paint it black, and you find the light somewhere else, then it gets twisted around, and you have a mechalas enayim, because since your enayim were mekulkul, they don't see what's there. They see what you would like, what you would fantasize to be there, then you will find time and again that you dash into a wall because your eyes misled you. And that's the extraordinary tsar. That's the extraordinary oimek achurban of v'dimu lahem. Kol Yisrael fantasized the Mashiach. Because after the churban, it must be. And also Chochmei Yisrael, the Rambam says. And when that's dashed, when that toicheles is nichseves, then there's no more hope. And hope becomes very battered. If you go through history of Klal Yisrael, even the semi-recent history, one of the greatest nadirs of Klal Yisrael in the histories of Klal Yisrael, is every time there was a Teicheles Nechzeves. It's very easy for us today to sit back and to say, of course, Avada, we understand. But let's ask ourselves, let's think back a little bit. Let's go back to Shapsi Tzvi. Of course, today, there's nobody thinks no. But Klal Yisrael has been sitting for well over 1,000 years in Golas. Everything is bad. And someone rises. And this person is unbelievable. In his heyday, he knew everything. He was up day and night, fasted on Asim, knew Kabbalah, was charismatic, spoke. The Goyim fell before him. Hine, hine, bar. And we are so eager to latch on, because like Rav Engel mentioned yesterday, the Rambam, that there's a chiyuv not only to believe in Mashiach, but to be mechakeloi. So every nerve in our body is in tune to wait and to hope. And here it is. It's here. And the shmur goes out, and people do tshuva. All the if you read the accounts, people closed their businesses, and they sat and learned, and they did tshuva. And it was Kemar Kocha. And then, when the Sheker started being his gala, when they began to realize, it was so difficult to let go, because another Techelos Nechseves for Dimo Kol Yisrael. If we'd understand why people latched onto it, we'd understand how devastating it was when it was destroyed. It left its destruction, left an impact that made it so vulnerable for so many other things, Klal Yisrael. I want to go to the more recent Kufis and talk about, and again, it's very easy for us when we sit where we're from and look back. I want to understand Klal Yisrael in Eastern Europe and Western Europe in those Kufis was Shmatis. People who had so much ability, so much talent, so much energy, were condemned to live like shmatis, at physical dangers, denigrated, no ability to do anything. And here comes along an emancipation, and Jews are allowed to study. They're allowed to go to university. They're allowed to develop their talents. Yes, it's very easy to sit here in front of an Arkadish and say, ah, terrible, terrible, checker, it's not frum, it's not this. But for people imagine if we didn't grow up where we grew up. We grew up as shmatis, as garbage, as no hope, no future. And someone comes and says, here, Jews are enlightened, they're smart, they're bright, you can do it. Do you understand why it sweeps everybody up? It wasn't the knowledge. it was the stature. My father lived in the door when it was a person. There was a stature. The person was chashiv. He's important. And yes, so it's not. It is. It's not. But it's chachma. It's this. It's that. The reason why people got swept up was because there was such a dearth of hope, and this hit a nerve of hope. I want to tell a story that I heard from my father quite a few times. My father was in Kovno Ghetto. We'll speak about some of these young later on, Nazel Vanin. But my father worked in the brigade that brought in food to the ghetto. In other words, they would go out in the morning, they were allowed to bring in X amount of food. It was all under God. And that was what he worked at. One day, he sees a strange face next to him. In other words, somebody had obviously switched place with somebody else. The person was keeping a low profile. And my father recognized him. My father turns to him and he says, "Professor Shapiro." And he tells my father, "Don't speak so loudly. It's, you know, it's hush." Professor Shapiro was Chaim Nachman Shapiro, the son of the Dvar Avram. The Dvar Avram had three sons. One of them ended up in America. One of them, I think two were killed, I don't know. One of them was named Chaim Nachman Shapiro. Chaim Nachman Shapiro was a brilliant man. We would call him today more of a traditional Jew, I guess. He was a professor of Semitic languages. He was probably the only Jew ever to get Dutzent, was like a senior professorship in Kovno and in St. Vincent Kovno University, and then Vilna, he got a full professorship. You're talking about something which was impossible for a Jew. He was brilliant. He knew languages, and he wrote a 12-volume encyclopedia on Hebraic writers. He had one son, and there was a woman who worked for him in the good days in university. He had helped her a lot, and he had somehow managed to contact her, and she promised him that she'll take his child and keep him safe over the war. And yeah, he told my father very quietly not to talk about it. They had managed to bribe the German guard. He was now going. They would go to the bread factory. She was going to meet him there. They would work out the exact arrangements where they would throw the child over the fence and so on, and she would take him. It was hush hush. I mean, the guard had been bribed, actually. They got to the bread factory. She was supposed to be waiting for him. She's not there. He waits a few minutes, very, very edgy. He manages to call her up from the factory. In fact, he had a phone. And she said, "Don't worry, I'll be there, don't worry." And I don't know whatever amount of time, they had a half hour to gather all the bread, nothing doing. He calls back and she says, "I'll be there momentarily, don't worry." The guard said they have to go, and they bribed him again. And he calls her back again and again. Finally, another half hour, and the guard said, "We're going, or I'm shooting." And he realized that she'd been leading him on sadistically. And my father said he sat with him, and he saw a changed person. He was a very proud person with the bearing and the stature, and it was like a balloon that you emptied the air out. He was a shriveled old man. And he told my father, "I once thought that there's goodness and emes in the world. I believed in it. I said, I did everything for this woman. If she would have told me it's dangerous, she doesn't want to do it, I'd have no problem. But to promise me and to promise me and to lead me on sadistically, to burn a hole in my heart like this, so there's nothing in the world." And my father said the change in the person was so devastating. He, from a proud, dignified person who held himself, to a balloon emptied of air. That's Teicheles Nechzeves. When everything you lived for, everything you hoped for, everything you believed in is gone. We laugh at communism today. communism tapped into a hope. It tapped into the life of the masses of people was wretched. The riches of the wealthy people was extraordinary. And someone tapped into an artery of goodness, chesed, fairness, and the Jews swept up with it. And there was a reason why they were all Jews. Because a Yid lives with a hope that the world can be different, can be better. Once you learn to place the Dimyon ahead of the Metzias, then you get swept along because you're so eager to believe that there could be a world when people don't cheat each other. When a person who works 14 hours a day can have something to eat. And it swept everybody up and then destroyed it. I was reading an account recently about not a Jewish account. It was a Russian account of one of Stalin's Grigory Zinoviev was one of the people with him, one of the giants of the movement, the Yid, like almost everybody else. And as they were killing him, so Stalin loved to hear the stories about how people would grovel and beg and scream, and that was his an enikel of Esav and Amalek, very, very pasik. And they told him over the story at a party that he said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and he was roaring with laughter and saying, "Wow, it's so funny." But it tapped into the deepest resources of Klal Yisrael and swept them up. And then we got closer. The Goyim told us leave Europe, and we decided yes, they're right. We're homeless, shiftless people. We'll go to Eretz Yisrael. It's our place. We'll work. We'll make it. Bring out. We'll be normal like everybody else, and we'll be normal. That'll be the hope. That's it. To live like a normal country. And people gave their blood and their sweat and their tears, everything. And they built up a place that's extraordinary. What didn't they do? Eretz Yisrael is a pride. Whether it's the agriculture, whether it's the science, whether it's the government, everything about it. And people gave their lives. They died from malaria, and they died from wars and everything, and put their heart and soul into a place so that their kids grow up to be human beings, not dirt, not spit, not little anti-Semitic remarks, not pogromed. And this is also, it makes a lot of sense. And yes, it fits. It's at Israel. It's all about. That's what it's about. And it's 60 years, and there hasn't been a quiet night. And it doesn't make any sense. The only difference is that instead of the Frenchman saying, leave France, he says now leave Israel. That's the only difference. What happened? The hope that children could live in a normal place, could live like human beings, could have a life. And this is Eretz Yisrael. It's ours. And so much hope, and yes, there's so much to be proud of, and yet it's not. It's living on a knife's edge, day in, day out. I want to add something that I've been thinking a lot about Techeles Nechseves. What does it mean when 20-year-olds are killed? What does it mean when a 23-year-old about to be engaged is killed? There are tkufis in lives. A person gets when people are gilamida, so they are what they are. The person is, 40, 50, 60. Well, this is what he is. It's pretty much clear what he is. A child, it's still unclear. There's the Tzar Gidol Banim, the different tkufis, there are stronger tkufis, weaker tkufis. It's still that. the teva is when a child turns in his 20s, early 20s, he's matured, he's past the yaldus and the nairus. He has a life ahead of him. It's the bloom. It's the flowering of his life, and all the hopes. When parents take a 20-year-old to the chuppah, all the hopes and dreams of the world are there at that time. That's the moment. That is the moment of greatest hope and dream. And when you have to bury a 20-year-old, you don't bury just a 20-year-old. You bury the dreams and hopes of a life. An entire family never goes back to being what it was. That's what it is. That's the churban of our betars. Chazal say, Asaka de rispa chor beta, da have noig, gave misyalad yenuka. Beta, what was the neknech? How was the chorv? The minig was that when a child was born, have a shosla arzim, they would plant a cedar tree, yenukta. And when they would get married, they would make the chup out of it. The nekud of beta, the shtarkar of beta, was that they lived with a hope and a dream. And the dimoism of Chachamim was part of it, because that was the school of beta. It's the double churban. Beit has the sof churban, because in Beis Hamikdash we destroyed what was, and in Beit we destroyed what we thought could be. And it takes two prices. One price is the extraordinary devastation when you're expecting Vayikav le'orev. Ryan, and you hope for the good and you get smashed with the bad. And the second tsar and tsara is that when you stop hoping, it's like a finger that's been hurt so many times, it's so sensitive, you can't bear anymore to take another chance. You shirk. It tamps our hope. We've been there, done that, believed in it. We're mekainen and we're sitting and saying kinnis on all the things that were charev and all the dreams that were dashed and all the false dreams that we went after. And we hope the tikkun is that not only that before HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be metakin our anayim and peh, that we should see emes. Hope for emes, that lishuoscha kivisi Hashem, I should understand what to hope for, and when we know what to hope for, and we hope for it, then Akadosh Baruch Hu, if we mechak eloi, we understand the loy and mechak eloi, then the toiv will come, the churbans we rebuild, and we'll come back again to the toiv.